Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Hey Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCfootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to another edition of the Peristyle Podcast. On a Tuesday, we are simulcasting live on our YouTube channel over at Inside Troy. And of course, coming at you across our Peristyle Podcast network, wherever you can find your podcast, you can find the Peristyle Podcast. And every week, we're talking about the USC Trojan football team, USC Athletic Department. Today, I'm joined alongside Chris Trevino. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris N. Trevino, and you can follow me at Inside Troy. We got a lot of stuff in the USC football world to cover today. Some new football facilities that have come out, the plans for that. I was at an NIL event, House of Victory QBU last night. Big recruiting weekend and more moving up the recruiting rankings. So we're going to get to all of that stuff here on the show. If you have any questions or comments, you can drop us an email, podcast at USCfootball.com. We'd love to hear from you. And you can also call or text us, leave us a voicemail, or send us a text. 424-254-9141 is the number. And if you have that Apple Podcasting app, we really appreciate it. If you can go on there, leave us a five-star rating and a review. It helps to grow the show. We haven't had a review in a little while, so get in there. If you got an iPhone, iPad, whatever it is, jump on that and leave us a review. We really appreciate when you do that, and it does help to grow the show. Well, I want to bring in Chris. He's sitting here right next to me in the studio. Chris, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
You know, I'm in a good mood.
I can tell.
I'm happy.
You're pepped up.
Got dressed up last night. Saw a bunch of fans would come up, you know, boosters and USC people.
Rubbing shoulders with the rich and famous of the NIL world.
A lot of former players, a lot of boosters, and a lot of people would come up and say hi, and they've been on the website for a long time.
I can't stress how much, like, that's Ryan's scene. You know, it's like his world. Like, he is just a social butterfly. You drop him anywhere, he's going to have 30 friends by the end of the night. That's just his world and his environment. That is not my world, but I'm lucky that I have Ryan on my team to handle things like that.
You're getting more accustomed to it, I think.
Sure.
You're just doing these live shows. It's great. But we had a bunch of people. Someone asked, "Where's Chris?"
I'm right here.
Last night, but last
night. Where's Chris?
There. Yeah. If you can put up comments, if you're watching us live on YouTube, first of all, we appreciate that. Smash that like and subscribe button over there on our YouTube channel. It does help to grow that and everything. But if you do have any comments, and they're cool, I'll try to put them up on the screen. As I'm hosting the show, producing everything, I'll look over there. But if you have a question and you want us to answer later on the show or something comes up, just put question in there and I will try to start and we'll get to it later on in the show. And I do want to thank, before we get into things, I got to thank our sponsor, Chris, Trader Joe's. Now, last week, I went down to San Diego. I love fishing. As you know, I like going fishing,
yep,
Chris.
Yep.
Went fishing, took a boat out of San Diego. I'm a boat club called Freighter Boat Club. So I captained a boat, me and a couple buddies down from San Diego, went down to the Mexican waters. A little crazy, but caught some bonita, which was cool. Like, they're fun, fun fish. And I came back and I went to Trader Joe's first thing and picked up a bunch of stuff to make fish tacos. I'll put up a picture here. There you can see one of the fish I caught, which was nice. Go get the mango slaw. It's in the refrigerated section. So I use that as sort of a topping for the fish taco. I bought some of the Trader Joe's chips and salsa, but I also bought this pineapple salsa. and a red onion there, and then some of the different vinegars. And I pickled the onions, which was kind of cool. Put them on there with the and some of the mixed Mexican cheese from Trader Joe's. So you can see my little fish taco I assembled there. But I put the mango slaw, pineapple salsa, the grated Mexican cheese, along with some chips and salsa, and it was a yummy meal. So are you a fish taco guy?
Yeah, I am. I don't order them a lot though, but I had an amazing, like the best fish taco of my life in Mexico, and nothing has ever come close to that. So like, I just don't like even try to compete with that. But when you were like fishing and you caught that thing and you're like taking a picture of it, are you like thinking in the back of your mind, like this is going to make a killer Trader Joe's drop for Tuesday?
No.
Are you thinking that?
I wasn't thinking about the Trader Joe's drop. I haven't, like different fish, like the bonita, I guess some people can do sushi with it, but I don't know. It seems like it's more in like the mackerel family than like a tuna family. But my buddy said he made great fish tacos with it. So that's what I did. We cleaned up the fish and everything. And then he made like a mango salsa. So I just went to Trader Joe's and kind of looked around and I found the mango slaw. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this. And then I found the pineapple salsa. I'm like, I'm going to do that. And it worked out great. So I'm very happy with it.
Trader Joe's goes into fish talk. So yeah, two worlds colliding.
I love it. Yeah, but I totally made the meal with Trader Joe's. I'm actually going to have that for lunch. I have some left over. So I'm going to go that after we do the show. Yeah, so big news coming out. I guess we could do the whole... how many times do we answer, like, when is the football facility going to be announced? If we talked last week, they announced the new soccer stadium and lacrosse stadium, which looks really cool. I just put it, if you're watching on YouTube, I put a picture up there. But Carroll Folt, USC, they come out, and now there's going to be football facility upgrades as well. So I'll put up a picture of one of the renderings that they gave us there. But yeah, apparently it's going to be pretty cool. Two football fields, training center, all this kind of stuff. USC fans have been waiting for this for a while, Chris, of what they would see in there. It's going to be, the Dado baseball field will be upgraded too.
Rotated 90 degrees.
Yeah, rotated 90 degrees. I'll put a picture of that up.
Three stories,
yeah. So they said it's going to three-level performance center, rooftop hospitality deck, player lounge with a second full-length practice field, student-athlete-centric spaces, new locker room, multiple player lounges, recovery hub, nutritional support, sports science services, a weight room, training room, an equipment room, team auditorium, a position meeting rooms, recruiting areas, staff offices, and flexible space for future growth. Head coach Lincoln Riley said it's an absolute game changer for our program. It will be the perfect home for our team and give our players every opportunity to be successful. So, Chris, wanted to kind of get your thoughts on this new proposed athletic facility.
I made this point on the Reign of Troy show last night, which I was on. Go check that out. But I made this point that, when you look at USC as a football program, there's a lot of boxes that you check off or don't check off when it comes to looking at a program, and specifically USC. They always will have location checked off. It's a pristine location. Always will have recruiting landscape. Southern California can't get any better than that. Coaching has not been checked off for quite a while, but give it two check marks now with Lincoln Riley and such. Facilities were one of those boxes that were not checked off. And obviously, you still can't check it off until the building is actually open for business. But USC has moved in the right direction. This is something that was sorely needed with USC. New facilities, specifically football facilities, because, what was McKay Center? What was that? 2012, that just feels outdated, even though it's like 11 years ago. That in this day and age in college football with facilities and arms races, the newer gets newer, 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 and newer. So USC, I'm assuming this building is going to be state-of-the-art, multi-million dollars, all the bells and whistles. It's going to blow a lot of things out of the water across the country until someone builds the newest and better thing. But right now, USC is in the game when it comes to facilities, and this big, important project that they're undertaking to show that they're serious about football and upgrading that. You know, you went out, got Lincoln Riley, you're serious about football. You went out, you moved to the Big Ten, you're serious about football. You're building a brand spanking new football facility, you're serious about football. So all the things that administration is doing in the athletic department shows that they are serious about football.
For sure. And that the John McKay Center, which looks really cool, it just was sort of coming in those times. This was a Pat Hayden era thing. Lane Kiffin was the head coach at the time and literally didn't have the foresight to anticipate any sort of growth. Like, that was back in the day when you had like one recruiting analyst. There's just not enough office space in that building for the football team. They, you know, they basically had what's Lane Kiffin's staff right now? Okay, that many offices we'll have. And that, I mean, it just doesn't work. And they were trying to, you know, squeeze people in the Heritage Hall and all that. But this, yeah, to see Dado Field shifting a little bit, I guess that McGuire walkway looks like that's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. And they're going to, instead of having like Brian Kennedy Field on one end, they're going to have two fields side by side and then a building on that end. So it all looks pretty cool. Something that's sorely needed. You know, Lincoln Riley talked about it, and that was something that, you know, he was promised. We're going to go into, I got to hear Lincoln Riley speak last night, and he said, you know, two of the things that he was promised was one, that they were going to upgrade the football facilities, and two, NIL would be taken care of. So we're going to talk about the NIL stuff in a little bit, but this is certainly that football facility announcement that everyone was waiting on. Obviously, there's not a lot of space because you're in downtown Los Angeles. You know, there's just not much room, so kind of have to rearrange things and move stuff around. Curious to see, you know, what it's going to look like, how long it's going to take, and all that. We don't have any of those details yet, and like where they're going to be practicing.
There's no date on the project. There's no budget on the project. I'm assuming money will not be an issue with the Big Ten money rolling in. But yeah, the date thing is interesting because obviously you can only live off renderings for so long before the fans start getting antsy about it. You know, it's like an engagement. Can't be a really long engagement, Ryan. You have to move quickly on it. You have to give the fans something to look forward to. These drawings won't hold them over for so long. So, you know, whenever that is, 2025, 2026, 2027, whatever, they'll feel a lot better once they get a date in place. But obviously there's a lot of things moving on and happening with, you know, the Big Ten and the Olympics are coming to town. So there's a lot of moving pieces that they got to kind of figure out and see the best time to actually break ground and get on the ground running with this.
Yeah. One quick one from Sisters of Watts. Why not have another indoor facility? I mean, there's just limited space. You don't need indoor facilities at USC because the weather's always good. So I think it's more about where can you utilize the space that you have, you know, and having an indoor facility. Probably not the highest of priorities. We also have some there's a commitment right now, Chris.
Oh.
Jason Zandamella.
Zandamella?
Yeah.
Offensive line from Florida. Let me just make sure someone's on that. Comes from Florida Clearwater International. Lucas Simmons. If you remember that name, he was the 2023 offensive tackle USC really, really wanted in the 2023 class. Did not get him. Florida State ended up getting him. But, you know, they went right back to the well there and recruited Zandamella, who is going to be a center prospect. You know, USC was down to him and Devin Brooks as their two prospects for the center piece of the center position. And as we know, Josh Henson is a center guru. That's like his specialty on the O-line. So, you know, he's had a really good stretch of recruiting those guys. And Devin Brooks went and committed to Oregon. So Zandamella came in for that official visit this past weekend. And, you know, they closed him. We heard really good things about USC, you know, closing the deal with him on that weekend. And we thought he could be an emoji that popped up. And lo and behold, he is here. He has committed. And he is going to be a really big piece. He's a four-star prospect. He is really athletic, really talented. He hasn't been playing football that long. I believe he comes from Africa. I believe Ghana. but he's a transfer international prospect like Lucas Simmons, who came from Norway or Sweden, I think. So that program in Clearwater, you know, they get a lot of international guys and coach them up to be football players. So he's got a lot of physical attributes that you love. Still needs to learn the game more, but yeah, he's going to be a good one for Josh Henson, and it's a really good pickup for that O-line class, and they're trying to lock that thing down. So he becomes the third offensive lineman in this class with Hayden Treeter and Manasa Itete, who also comes from Africa, Dominican of Congo, Republic of Congo. Yeah, the Republic of Congo. So you see a little international pipeline going on here. So really good pickup for them.
Yeah, good stuff. I just tweeted out that we're talking about it live because Gerard was tweeting it. So thanks for everyone in the chat. You know, obviously when we start doing the show, we're not really looking at social media or anything right now. We can check your phones and everything. But thank you for pointing that out. So we got a little breaking news while the show is live. Pick up another commitment. And let me put up the rankings for you. Before that commitment, USC had 11. So that will be up to 12. So this
is going to put him in the top 10 of classes right now.
Yeah, and I'm putting up the Pac-12 rankings right now. If you look at the top, Oregon's there. 11 four-star players.
They're going to get mad at you. They don't care about the Pac-10 anymore.
Okay.
They want a new Big 12.
16 commitments. Stanford's actually second with 22, and they're number 9 overall in the country. I forgot what Oregon was. I didn't look. USC, before this commitment, was number 12. So it'll be interesting to see, does USC go up to like 10? They could potentially go to like 8 and jump Stanford. That's another big commitment there. So USC keeps climbing. If you remember, number 57 back when the month started and moved all the way up, now potentially in the top 10. So pretty good there. Chris doing his work. So good stuff there. I want to go into this House of Victory event. We're going to talk about a little more recruiting in a minute with the Golden Hour visit weekend and all that. So we'll kind of get a quick update from Chris. Also, we have a little announcement to make if Chris is okay to say this. I just did a live show this morning for the Podcast of Champions, the Pac-12 podcast. If you want to go check that out, pac12podcast.com. We put that all across the 24/7 Sports Network. Today, we're doing the live show here, the Peristyle podcast with Chris and I. But tomorrow, you normally get your composite two-star recruits podcast. We're going to do a little off-site, remote kind of meeting with me and Gerard and Chris, and going to do a live composite two-star recruits podcast remotely. But we're going to get Gerard and Chris and me all in the same room. Hopefully, the setup, I'll be able to set this up okay, and do a live show. Just like this, but we'll have Gerard and we'll have Chris, and they'll be talking recruiting for, you know, hours, because that's what they normally do. Now they got a new commitment to talk about, so that's, you know, that'll add another hour or something to the show. So make sure you check it out tomorrow, 3 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesday, June 21st. We will do another live Peristyle podcast, but this is the composite two-star recruits podcast, and I probably won't be on. I'll just probably produce it, but I'll be there and listen to those guys. So I think you guys will enjoy it. Any thoughts on that, Chris? You cool with it?
Not really. My brain is going a million miles an hour. I am hesitant to commit to that because I'm worried we don't have the technology to pull this off. But
you say
we do. So I'm just telling you, you mess with our composite two-star fans and their nut being this podcast. They're going to come after you because if everything goes wrong tomorrow and we can't do it.
Oh, we're doing it.
I'm just saying, if there's no podcast for them on Thursday, they're going to come and burn your house down.
First of all, it'll be up faster because I'm going to be producing it.
Sure.
So it'll go up quick.
Whatever you say.
I'm not doing all the timestamp stuff that you do.
Oh, okay.
Like, you can do that. Like, you can add.
No, I don't do timestamps on live shows. That's the rule. I don't do timestamps on live shows.
But the worst case, it'll just be recorded and not go live. But we will do our best to go live with a Cilantro crew. So I'm looking forward to that. Okay, so last night there was an event at Via. It's this part of the Marriott Newport Beach, Schwenke Hotel venue for House of Victory, and they call it QBU. And it was a NIL event, a fundraiser. You know, like you have these political fundraisers, you're raising money. This was a fundraiser for, you know, USC students. It was focusing on quarterbacks. So that was kind of the theme of it. It was emceed by Rodney Peete, you know, former USC quarterback. But you had a lot of former quarterbacks. I'll kind of go through the whole list of everybody that was there. It was an event that if you wanted to buy a table, it was $20,000. If you wanted to buy an individual ticket, it was $2,500. So this was definitely an attempt to raise some money. Looked like a full house to me. They had a little cocktail kind of hour outside. I'll put a picture up of that. Trojan marching band came by. And so people outside, you know, having some drinks, running into people. The four featured speakers were, and I'll put a picture up of them, Lincoln Riley, USC head coach, Lindsey Gottlieb, the USC women's basketball coach, Dane Blanton, the USC women's beach volleyball coach, and Andy Enfield, the USC basketball coach, men's basketball coach. And you can see Joel Klatt was running that panel. But it was a really cool event, really featuring the quarterbacks. I'll put all of the former – they had all the current quarterbacks were there. So and so you had Caleb Williams, Jake Jensen, Miller Moss, and Malachi Nelson. All those guys were there. Plus you had like Rodney Peete and you know, Carson Palmer, Matt Barkley, Cody Kessler, Max Brown – just a whole bunch of, you know, all these former quarterbacks that were there. So it was cool to see. I got to talk with a lot of those guys. Almost every quarter. Oh, Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez was there too. Got to talk to most of those guys. Just pull them aside. So it was great. I haven't talked to Carson Palmer in a while. He's in Idaho now, but he's actually announced that he's moving back. So he's coming back to Orange County. Mark Sanchez just got married, so that was kind of cool. John David Booty, I used to love talking to him. It was great to see him again. He's doing like commercial real estate down in Orange County. The Khalil brothers, if you guys remember recruiting, they both went to Servite High School but came out from Corona. Matt Khalil and Ryan Khalil, they're both there. Ryan Khalil's like in movie production. He was part of White Man Can't Jump, that production team. Matt Khalil has this tequila company, and I'm blanking on the name right now, but we're gonna get both those guys on, I think, and talk about that. And he had his tequila there, so I got to check that out. But a lot of heavy hitters from USC. Brandon Hancock came out there. They had, you know, Jake Olson was around. It was a really cool event to see all those former USC players at once. And then they had a bunch of different panels, you know. They, you know, Yogi Roth was up there. I'll put a picture of that up, talking to all the current quarterbacks. Obviously Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams had some really nice things to say about, you know, Miller Moss, and that was cool. And just the kind of camaraderie they have, the competition, and it makes a little, like, if Miller Moss like makes a bad throw, like Caleb just kind of gives him this look, and it's pretty cool, like how, you know, he's the Heisman Trophy winner guy, but he's still like, you know, he. There's no way you didn't make that quarterback room better by including all of those guys. And so I thought that was pretty cool. So it was really featured on the quarterbacks. You know, Paul McDonald was the – I think he was the one – yeah, he interviewed – where was it? Do I have the picture of him? Paul McDonald was up there. I think he was talking with – they had Matt Barkley and Cody Kessler kind of talk separately about, like, the evolution of the quarterback position. And then having all the quarterbacks up there at once, and Rodney Peete was kind of asking a bunch of the different guys questions. And then the feature, again, was at the end where they talked to all the head coaches and really focused on the importance of NIL. I mean, you got Yogi Roth out there. That's cool. He was formerly on the staff. They got Joel Klatt to come out and emcee that part of the panel. So big time name in college football. And he had some really interesting things to say, you know, so that's for me, looking at what they did, they were able to pull all this together. It was a pretty impressive event, overall. And just seeing how all of the coaches were talking about the importance of NIL. Lincoln Riley talking about this is not a nice to have. This is a necessity. You must have this to be successful going forward. And Andy Enfield, I thought maybe one of the better speakers. He was really good talking about trying to relate to the fans about what it means and NIL. And Lindsay Gottlieb had an amazing story about one of her players that was, you know, living in a two-bedroom apartment with like 17 other people. And her first like NIL check when she gets to USC, she's like, it wasn't that much money, but the fact that she was welcomed by the Trojan family, it meant the world to her. And like Dane Blanton, you know, he has 10 starters on his team and he has 5 total scholarships. So not even enough for half your squad. So NIL is really important for those kind of non-headcount sports that you need to have partial scholarships. So all the coaches, I thought, did a nice job sort of explaining, you know, what the importance of NIL is. And that's where Lincoln Riley talked about, you know, the two things he was promised was, you know, NIL support and the facilities. And obviously they're working on the NIL support. And then Will Smith, who's a big USC donor, I don't know him well, but I think he's in the real estate world, gave, you know, a really nice sort of end to the talk about, you know, what he's seeing in the world of NIL. And he's talked about USC really being behind the curve for the last 9 months. And then he said, you know, for the last few weeks, it's definitely changed. And I don't know if that was sort of a shot at like Mike Bone or not. I you know, the timing seemed to work out right. But just seeing this event, it looks like USC's on the right path. He had like Boulevard and stuff before, but that really wasn't working. He actually doubled down on the whole 501c3, you know, being a nonprofit, and talked about that every player that they sign this charitable contract. So they have to do charity work to get the money that's promised to them. So he made it sound like the nonprofit status was still going to be okay for at least parts of what House of Victory does. And he gave a story about he was at an SMU event because he was speaking. I think it was Eric Dickerson or someone was down there. He was the MC. He said SMU in one night at their dinner for NIL, SMU raised $3.5 million. And USC is just not in that stratosphere right now. So there was a really big push to get people to donate, you know, give to these NIL efforts and help these athletic programs succeed. So I thought it was a really well done. If you remember, like Spencer Harris and Megan Mueller, like they were part of the Boulevard. And once they were coming over to House of Victory, you're sort of like, oh, there's a lot of people coming back. But this is a different organization. This is much – it's so much better run than anything we've seen before. And they seem like they have their ducks in a row. Everyone there that I talked to enjoyed the dinner, enjoyed, you know, the speaking, you know, all the talks and everything and the mingling afterwards. So long kind of ramble there, but I thought it was really good. So I don't, any thoughts, Chris?
No.
Okay.
There's so much going on. I almost just want to leave.
Just because of the commitments? Is there something else going on? What's going on?
No, that's going on.
It's just the commitment right now.
I hate being unable to do what I need to do on a commitment. And there's so many things I need to do when a commitment happens. So I feel naked. I already feel naked already on this going live, but I feel really naked because I can't do what I and I actually blame the people who watch the show because they bullied me into not bringing my laptop to these live shows because they used to complain that I was too busy looking on my laptop. So I actually blame them.
Let's go blame the listeners.
So like, that's the blame is blame the on customers. The listeners. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't pay for the show.
That's true.
They don't pay for this show.
Unless Moneybags Manford comes around.
Was he at the NIL event? That's who really needed to speak. The Manford of the Manford Collective. That's who needed to speak. Everyone else is small potatoes, baby crawfish to the whale that is Moneybags Manford.
All right.
He bought 5 tables for himself and didn't even show up.
Nice.
Someone do the math on that.
That's $100,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew the math. I just wanted you to say it loud.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris. We'll try to go through this. We won't lollygag. We'll go through and get what we need to get done.
It's already ruined. Just do what you need to do. It's already hellfire.
All right. Hellfire, but it was very good.
I'm glad you had a great time.
It was a good time, and I thought, you know, it was a lot of media that was there. They had TV cameras and stuff, TV trucks outside. Just well done. And so you can see the effort being put into – they know that NIL is important. USC sort of just always did things their own way. We saw that with the way they hired coaches, they hired athletic directors, and they weren't adapting. And it was funny, Joel Klatt talked about that, you know, the need to, you have to change with the times. And it's just, this is the way things are now. And so it seems like USC is going that direction, which is good. You know, needed that. So, yeah, it was cool. There's also a new analyst was hired, Chris, Bryson Allen Williams.
Sure.
Do you know anything about him?
I do a defensive quality control analyst assistant. I don't really know what goes at the end after control. I go with analyst, but yeah, he is a nice pickup for the staff. More, you know, support for the coaching staff. And I presume he's going to be working with Roy Manning in the rush end because he was a pass rusher, kind of outside linebacker during his time at South Carolina. Former blue chip prospect out of the 2014 class, had offers from just about every school you could think of, Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Notre Dame, Penn State. USC was one of those schools. He was a Army All-American, signed with South Carolina. I was actually confused because his bio said USC alum. So I know already some fans are like, whoa, 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 whoa. Well, there's only one USC. So he might have to change that in his bio now that he is an actual USC staffer with the program. But I digress. He was, you know, hit by some injuries late in his South Carolina career, but was a pretty effective pass rusher. I think he had like 22 games started, 27 and a half tackles for a loss. Went undrafted, participated in the combine, had a cup of coffee with the Raiders. But he comes to USC from North Carolina, where he was a graduate defensive assistant.
Yeah.
And so he's working with the defensive line and outside linebackers there. So he has a little bit of experience. He was somewhere before that. I'm blanking on the school, but it was a small-time school. He was there for about 2 years as a again, as a graduate assistant. Moved up to North Carolina, worked with their defense. He was only there for a couple months before he's taking this job with USC. So I think he saw the opportunity.
He's like,
to be a part of the Trojans and Lincoln Riley staff. The other important part, I think, of this, you know, obviously Roy Manning, not that he needs help, but there's a lot of people in that room now with the rush end spot. So just another pair of hands to help. You know, you can break them up, work with half the guys and get more coaching and double in, you know, in one practice. So there's a lot of bodies in that room. Jamel Muhammad, Romello Height, Anthony Lucas will be shifting there. Sam Green, Braylon Shelby, David Peavy. You got options there. So I think another pair of hands is great to have in there. And the other thing is he is a Georgia native. And I think that could be important with USC's recruiting. USC has obviously been trying. They have made inroads in Georgia with two commitments in the 2024 class, Walter Matthews and Cameron Fountain, two four-stars in Georgia. These aren't like three-star guys. These are high-profile schools or prospects that they beat out SEC schools. Walter Matthews with Florida, Cameron Fountain, you know, obviously with Tennessee, Georgia in their backyard. So we'll see what happens there. But he is a Georgia native. He knows the area. So when they bring these kids on campus, that's a comfort they have with the Georgia native. They can get them in, sit these guys down, talk with these guys, just like they use Bookie right now as a recruiter on campus. Taylor Mays, same way.
Yep.
He is a defensive assistant too. So these guys can help recruit. You know, they can't go out on the road. You know, they can't go in-home visits and stuff like that. But when they get them on campus, you know, they can recruit. And obviously these guys are trying to work their way up to being position coaches. So getting the recruiting experience on campus when these kids are coming. So that's, I think, will help them when they're recruiting in that peach state. More often they get these kids on campus, you know, they have a little piece of home away with a guy who knows the area, knows Georgia life, you know, and was also a big time college football player. So yeah, cool. I think it's a good pickup.
All right. Another defensive analyst there. USC fans be happy about that. It's also the Golden Hour visit weekend. Another big USC recruiting weekend. Obviously, just picked up a commitment earlier in the show when we were talking about that. I looked at the latest rankings, Chris. It did move USC up. to number 10 in the country, still third in the Pac-12. So Oregon's 8th, Stanford's 9th, and USC's 10th. USC is 0.04 behind Stanford. So that'll likely change. And then, you know, like I think 15 or so points behind Oregon.
I'm telling you, they don't care. What is the Big Ten rankings? I think there were five going before this commitment. So
Big Ten, look at Michigan's number 2.
But look at the points. They got to be 4 now, right?
Ohio State's number 4. Penn State's number 7, and USC's 10. So,
okay,
yeah.
So they moved up they to moved 4. Up.
So Minnesota's 12. So they were probably behind Minnesota. Wisconsin's 14. So number 4, but they're in the top 10 nationally, which is good. But I think can easily pass. They're close to, you know, Penn State at 7. Like they could jump up to number, you know, 7 or so with another commitment or two fairly quickly. So, yeah.
But there you go, 4th in the Big Ten right now.
4th in the Big Ten. Be 3rd in the Pac-12.
Ten in the nation.
And 10 in the nation, yeah. If they were in the SEC, they would have been 4th in the SEC also. So that's not bad.
But still more to come.
More to come, sure. But what did your overall thoughts? You know, it's been 3 really big recruiting weekends. Like the 2 weekends ago wasn't huge, but 2 well, really
the,
big
they're
ones.
They're big for different reasons. The first one, obviously, it's the kind of appetizer. You got, 6 commitments in a span of like 72 hours? Huge, obviously. It got the momentum going for this month that they've been on. The next weekend, obviously, not as many kids. It was just 2 kids in Peyton Woodyard in Kingston with Yamaasa. But it's big because those are 2 really high-profile guys that they want in this class. Peyton is obviously committed to Georgia. But USC just has to keep recruiting him. Just keep going, keep up, you know, keep in contact. And then Kingston is obviously their number 1 linebacker on the board for that Mike spot. They want to bring in, stack that class. You know, Tackett Curtis the year before. They need more bodies at linebacker for this class. So he's number 1 for them. Obviously battling Notre Dame and Ohio State. It was a big, you know, they think they made a move with him, but, you know, he was going to always take all of his visits. So it's like if they had closed him on that visit, yeah, more power to you. But he was always going to go through the process, I feel like. So just took his Notre Dame visit, has Ohio State this weekend. So we'll know shortly where he stands, obviously, which school he's going to pick. But, you know, USC got their best shot in with him. I think they did really well, but obviously Notre Dame, Ohio State, no slouches in this recruitment. So that one's going to be interesting. But it was big just because, you know, it was the intimate visit. They had 2 really high-profile guys that they wanted. The whole staff was involved. This was like a full staff recruitment for both these guys. You bring Troy Polamalu in. Obviously, you're bringing out a big gun for these guys. And then, obviously, the Golden Hour this weekend. Just the most pure number of guys that they've had on campus. You had the big luau at Lincoln Riley's house. You had the big Golden Hour event at the Coliseum. It's nighttime. It's beautiful skyline. Taking photos. Everyone's there having a good time. And then you step it up from last year with the yacht party. You know, people were raving about the yacht. Ryan, have you ever been on a yacht? You look like a man who's, you know, knows his way around a rock.
I partied on some boats.
Yeah, you party on some boats in your day. He's being modest. He knows a thing or two about partying on boats. I don't know if there was any fishing, Ryan. I didn't know if they could bring you on. Fishing. You know, they can have a little fishing corner. Like, hey, any of the recruits want to fish, maybe for next time. But yeah, I mean, it's just setting a new bar, because obviously the Golden Hour last year set this ridiculous bar and it blew everyone away and they got a lot of commitments out of that. Do it again, but you do it better. And you do it, you know, Annie Hansen and her staff, they crushed it this weekend with getting everything in place and setting everything up and making sure everyone had a good time and everything with so much organization and promptness. And yeah, it was a great weekend for a lot of kids, and a lot of kids were blown away, and they got some commitments out of that. They got some silence out of that. So they did what they needed to do and, you know, made a very memorable experience, and they crushed it.
Yeah. And it's funny, like guys like Gavin Morris, if you watch him on his Instagram feed, he was a busy man. I ran into him last night at the NIL event. I mean, he was doing all the USC stuff, you know, yachts, and they're playing cards, doing all this stuff. he went to the U.S. Open, and there were some USC players at that. I mean, he was all over the place. And then at the NIL event last night, he was pretty wiped out. So good job there. Real quick, and I know you've talked about this, Ozzie says, this class will be playing in the Pac-12. Why include them in the Pac-12 rankings? USC is in the Pac-12 for over a year. So that's why I'm including them in the Pac-12 rankings. The Pac-12 still exists. USC is still a part of it. There's only one more football season. But you know, right now, that's still your peers that you are competing against. USC's playing Oregon. Like, you're recruiting against the Pac-12 schools more than you're recruiting against the Big 12 schools, or the Big 10 schools.
I keep saying Big 12 too.
Yeah, because we say Big 12 a lot because of the whole expansion thing. The Pac-12 needs to sign some kind of media rights deal, and then I'll stop saying Big 12 because we just keep talking about the Big 12. But they're not competing against the Big 10 the same way. They will be probably for the class of 2025 and beyond. But for right now, they're still in Pac-12. It's over a year before USC leaves for the Big 10. So I would say that is why I would use that.
Ryan, you make a lot of good points, but I got tired of making this argument with people. So I just caved in and I just only focus on the Big 10 rankings. But more power to you. More power to you for trying to stick with the logic. But I just gave in. You know, it's easier.
I got
maybe in 3 months you'll change your tune.
It could be. But it's still more than a year. It's not even like – no, it's a year and like 2 weeks. But it's still more than a year before USC goes in the Big Ten, just so you guys know that. Any other thoughts on the –
they're going to turn on you.
Golden Hour? They can turn on you. They turn on you for blaming them, you know, for
calling
everything.
Them degenerates.
We had over 200 people. I mean, how many we got now? Well, yeah, like – 220-something people, not degenerates, spending their time.
Look, if it had been yesterday when everyone was off work, I would not have called them degenerates.
We had somebody said he was watching the show while he was shopping at Trader Joe's. So that is
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Do we have like a deal if like you do that, they'll give you like 10% off?
We should.
Like you pull up the show and like, hey, look, they're like – this is a crazy man. Get him out of this store. But you should reach out to someone about that. You should be
I'll
like,
reach out to, yeah.
If I'm watching this show while I'm shopping, I should get like, 10% off.
Especially during the live read. If you're
watching. Yeah, during the live read, be like, look, can I get like a free mini tub of, what are those? The peanut butter cups.
Oh, yeah. The peanut butter cups are so good.
Not the dark chocolate, the milk chocolate, but whatever. Different strokes for different folks. Yeah.
Nice. All right. I think that's all. Any other newsy stuff, Chris, you wanted to just discuss?
Not that I have off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, why don't we do that?
I'm sure I'm missing something. I feel like I'm missing something. Well, whatever. They'll remind us.
Yeah.
They'll remind us if there's something going on.
Well, why don't we take a quick break? We will come back and answer some of your questions. Back in a minute.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle Podcast. We are live on our YouTube channel at Inside Troy and, of course, across the Peristyle Podcast Network. Wherever you can get your podcasts, you can listen to the Peristyle Podcast. If you're not a subscriber to USCFootball.com, this is a perfect time. We are offering half off a VIP membership It's great. You will love it. I posted tons of notes from the House of Victory event. We got on the Peristyle. Make sure you go check that out. If you're a subscriber, you can read all of it. The War Room every Friday is worth the price just of that. But it's a great deal. If you haven't checked it out, you will be the most informed USC fan at your office, in your block, wherever you assemble. If you go to the football games, you'll know more than the people around you. Trust me, and go check it out. So lots of great content. And we got some exciting announcements and stuff coming for the site, growing the site, later on, probably sometime in July. We'll let you know what's going on with that. But very excited for all of that. And excited to bring you guys more content. And if you want to get on there, I love that you guys listen to the show or watch the show, but uscfootball.com, get in there, be a subscriber, and you will not regret it. All right, we got to get some questions, Chris.
Okay.
Three simple words.
You've got mail.
Woohoo!
All right. I always forget to play that drop. We got a couple text questions. First one is from Eddie from Orange. He says, what school is easier to travel to from L.A., Washington State or Maryland? And he says, P.S., still bummed about the two-star recruits pod was under 4 hours last week.
Yep.
And he sent a sad face emoji.
That's on Ryan, as I pointed out.
It's not on me.
Yeah, I don't know how to do voicemails. I don't know how to access this.
You could figure it out.
I'm not a serious person on this show. He said easier to get to Washington or Maryland?
Washington State, so Pullman, which you can fly to Spokane and then drive. You might be able to fly to Moscow, Idaho. I'm not sure, but I think you have to fly to Spokane and drive. But it involves probably two flights and a drive.
I'm insulted by this question just because it is so easy to get to Maryland from California.
Yeah.
You could just fly into BWI, straight, direct, and you're there. It's like a 6-7 hour flight or whatever.
Not that long.
Time is weird on the plane for me. But you have to fly to a place called Moscow.
No,
to
I don't
get
think
to Pullman.
It's in Idaho. Yeah, I don't even think you fly to Moscow. I don't remember, but you're probably flying to Spokane.
You can though. You can do that.
Oh, you can. Okay.
But I'm saying wasn't the murderer from that? Never mind.
The murderer?
There was a serial killer that killed some people up in, was it Washington State? Wazoo? And he was like hiding and he drove from Moscow, Idaho. Everyone thinks I'm crazy.
It's literally like they're across.
Yeah. Someone right in the chat, I sound unhinged here, but someone in the chat knows what I'm talking about. That college campus murderer from like 6 months ago. But I digress.
It might have been at the University of Idaho or Boise State or something.
It was some school.
It might have been Idaho.
Might have been Idaho. Whatever. But the point is, you can literally get to Maryland on a direct flight. You don't. Yes, it's longer, but it's going to be a direct flight. You don't need to take multiple flights. You don't need to go and drive 3 hours.
Mark says, who the heck wants to go to Maryland? LOL.
I do,
now,
Mark.
You don't want to be insulted by Chris?
This
is not the way. Someone said Ted Bundy.
No, it's not Ted Bundy.
It was University of Idaho. Yeah, there was one at University of Idaho.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll watch the Netflix documentary in a year from now.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you for that one, Eddie. We also had Ben in L.A., which wide receiver on the current roster has the best chance of becoming a first-round pick?
That is draft eligible, or you mean in general?
I think in any receiver on the roster.
I would say – are we counting Deuce Robinson as a wide receiver or a tight end?
I will allow it.
That being said, I think it's Deuce or Zach Branch. I think it's Deuce or Zach Branch, just because I will never bet against Zach Branch, a freak of nature. Did you see that clip of him like running? He got to like 22 miles per hour or something like that, which is like just off the world record or something like that. Like outrageous. Obviously not very big, but man, that guy is electric. Tyreek Hill kind of speed, and those guys are obviously game breakers at the NFL, so... Obviously, I feel like the height might limit his ability to be a first round, but if he's like going bonkers just in college,
he's
it wouldn't
built
matter.
Like, I mean, I think the way he's built right now, he would be fine at the combine and all that.
Yeah. Oh, he would destroy the combine. So I will say Zach Branch and Deuce Robinson, who Deuce Robinson would also destroy the combine as well. He was getting up to 21 miles per hour on that clip they posted. And with that height and that vertical, yeah, he's up there as well. So I would say those two, just two athletic specimens.
Yeah, Blackie Chan said Brendan Rice or Dorian Singer. I think those would be awesome.
Yeah, those guys have a lower just because, well, Brendan's pretty athletic too, but I was just picking Deuce and Zach because of their athletic ability and just sort of their freaky nature. Like, those guys will end up on Bruce Feldman's, like, freak list.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are going to be on there. So
USC needs more of those.
But Dorian Singer and Brendan Rice, yes, are obviously in the discussion for first round picks. I think Dorian, better case right now because he has production behind his back. Brendan does too, but he just needs another big season. Like, if he can have a 1,000-yard season, yeah, we can talk about him being a first round guy.
For sure. Ted says, on November 13th, 2022, four University of Idaho students, and he names them, were fatally stabbed at an off-campus residence in Moscow, Idaho.
Moscow, Idaho.
And someone pointed out his name.
Brendan, I don't know.
Brian Kroberger or something?
Yeah.
Kroberger?
I know I was unhinged, but people understood what I was talking about. Like, I knew Moscow was involved somehow. But didn't he go to Washington State? I think he went to Washington State. I might be crazy. Wow. I might be crazy.
I mean, they're literally like across the street.
Right. Which is the point I'm making is that you can go to someplace named Moscow to go and I feel like Keeley and Shotgun stayed in Idaho when they went for the last Pullman game. So yeah, I'm just saying it's easier to get to Maryland. That's my overall point. That included serial killers and Moscow, Idaho.
All right. We'll do some questions from the chat as well. Let's see. Let's start with Larry. Greetings, gentlemen. Greetings. What is the realistic number of recruits SC takes in the 24 class?
So there's no cap, obviously, so you can take as many as you want. My estimate is like 23.
Yeah, I think
they want to get to like 20 by the end of the summer, and then kind of you play from there. If you fill in some more big fish, try to flip or anything like that. So I'm saying like 19-20 is the range you're trying to get to by the end of this summer. And then, yeah, 23, 24, 22, that's kind of my estimate right now.
Yeah, the chat's saying that he did go to Washington State and then he went to Idaho to hunt those students. So way to go, Chris. Murder Talk. Doing well.
Fish talk, murder talk, serial killer talk, Moscow talk, all on the Parastyle podcast.
Blackie Chan, what recruits do you think people should be talking about more?
So is that like commit or like
any recruit,
someone
who needs to be talked about more? Who's not getting the buzz, the love that they deserve?
I mean, if we're talking about like signees, I think Cade Eldridge is not being talked about more. Yeah. Like, guy played, was like 6'4" playing running back in high school. Like, the guy is versatile. The guy is a good athlete, and I think he's going to do some special things at that H-back position. I can't wait to see him on campus because obviously he comes from a small town in Washington. Never seen him in person, so I'm excited to see what he looks like on campus when I first see him. So that's like a recruit, but he's also a signee, so he's technically a freshman. So maybe not him. I'm trying to think of I'm blanking on anyone. That's my answer.
We'll go with it. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. Blackie also wanted to know, do you think USC showed the recruits a more in-depth layout of the new facilities? I don't think so. I think they would probably see the same thing that the public
I feel
was
like
seeing.
They also would show the public that because – you would want that out there for recruits who aren't on the visit.
Yeah.
You would just want to get that out on Twitter and trending and stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to assume no.
Yeah. I think you got those rendering. It took a while. A lot went into that. And it's funny, you know, we were talking about this at the NIL event with some of the people that were there. Obviously, Mike Bone, like resigning and all the scandal and everything going on. There was a lot of the stuff that was in place. You know, since Mike Bone has stepped away, new facilities been announced, the Big Ten schedule and all that. So there was a lot of stuff, a lot of work that was being done before, and it just sort of like, when was this stuff going to get revealed? And it came out, but this was a big one, and I think USC fans should be happy. It looks like it's going to do very well. Let's go to Danny. Says, in the past, USC NIL money wasn't going to high schoolers, but has it now shifted? My understanding is no. That's just not, listening to Will Smith talk, listening to all the speakers last night. I mean, they're signing, and I think they've signed about 200 USC athletes. They're focused on signing the players, the current players, men, women, different sports. They'll sign up these contracts, get charity events going, and they get paid for it and all of that. They did talk about, having guys like Caleb Williams or Bronny James. Caleb Williams does fine. Like, he doesn't need help. Bronny James has 7 million Instagram followers. He can make a crap load of money just by posting. He doesn't need USC NIL money. But yeah, they're not focused on high schoolers. They're focused on current players. Have you heard anything different from that?
No.
Yeah. I know people want bags of money for high school players, but that's just not the way it's going to work.
I want bags of money.
Yeah, me too. Oscar, with USC recruiting momentum rolling, do you guys see USC finishing with a top 5 recruiting class? Up to 10 already, and like within striking distance of 7 with like one more commit.
Yeah, I can see it. I think we were asked about this.
You didn't think so before.
Yeah, I mean,
I said yes, you said no.
Just because I think it'll take a 5-star to help like solidify a top 5 spot.
Yeah.
I was very like on the fence about it. Like I was like 6 or 7 kind of deal. But, obviously the momentum is there. We have to see what happens during the season. They get Mikey Matthews, the Georgia 5-star receiver is kind of like the only main 5-star that they're kind of really in the picture for. You could argue Taylor Tatum might move up to 5-star range as the number one running back in the country.
Don't talk about the conference.
Which conference? It's just a really weak running back class. We'll see what happens with Mikey Matthews. But yeah, I would say there's a pretty good shot with the pace they're on now that they can finish top 5. But again, there's a lot of teams that are going to be competing for that top 5. Yeah. There are some really good recruiting classes out there that are going to be competing for that. So I think they need a 5-star to give them that juice to finish in the top 5.
I agree with you there. Eddie wants to know,
Why
has Chris censored my voicemails the last 2 weeks? Am I canceled?
You're not canceled. I just don't know what to do. I don't know where the voicemails go. We don't have like a 90s, like, where you hit it.
I have it right on the board right here. I've put voicemails in there you haven't played.
But that doesn't show me where the voicemail is.
See the thing that says voicemails? It's right there.
Yeah, there's one voicemail in there.
I put it in there this morning.
Because there's only...
It's a 2-star.
It's only voicemails that you put in there. You put them in from where? I don't know where that is.
Just
the cloud?
You put the same place.
Yeah. The iCloud, so it's on the iCloud.
So when you put your sounds in there, it's the same thing.
Are you saying all the voicemails that come in, all of Eddie's voicemails from his car and in his closet, hiding from his kids, they're in the iCloud right now?
We could put them in there. It's fine.
So you're saying they're not there?
No, they're at the cloud. Yeah.
Where are they physically?
In the cloud. Right. No, they're in our Google voicemail box, and we download them.
Engineers, I can't get a straight
answer.
You
download them and put them in the cloud, and then they get onto the iPad.
Okay, well, I don't know where that download point is.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
Gotcha. Well, I've done it for you before.
This podcast is so unhinged.
I know, but hopefully tomorrow. I'm going to bring. I had to buy like an adapter to play it on the remote location. I'm going to bring the iPad, try to play the voicemail for you. We will see. Yeah, Keely hated it when I tried to do like technology stuff like
on the fly.
On the fly.
At least we'll be in a beautiful house, so whatever.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't work, you come after Ryan. You come after Ryan. This is not me.
Yeah, it's all Chris if it doesn't work. Zombie. When do we expect Taylor Tatum to commit? You mentioned him.
Before his season. He doesn't have like a firm timeline set in place. Sounds like the Michigan visit isn't going to happen, which is, I believe, this week. So, yeah, we could see something in the next couple weeks because all his visits are about wrapped up. So, yeah, definitely before the season, but I would say maybe in a couple weeks.
Nice. Okay. Let's see. Let's go to next one up. Sorry. Is from Aaron. And he says, Dante Williams has been impressive with landing Marcellus Williams and Dakota Fields. If he's able to land Xavier Brown, what would that mean for California recruiting?
Dante Williams revenge tour is what we like to call it right now. But yes, Dakota Fields, Marcellus Williams, two of the top three cornerback prospects in the state, Xavier being number one. So yeah, if Dante comes and goes Xavier Brown, Dakota Fields, Marcellus Williams, it's basically a big, like, stay out of my area. These are my prospects. These
my
are
dudes.
My dudes. It just sends a really big message that, one, you know, Dante Williams kind of back because he, you know, he was taking a lot from the fans. So
yeah,
he can go out there and land the top three cornerbacks in California. That's like his thing.
Right.
It's like, all right, Dante's back. And then, two, like the big message that sends, it's like, yeah, you guys were raiding California for a long time, but it shows that we're stopping that. The fence is getting higher for our area. You know, they're still going to lose some kids here and there, but the fact is you really want to keep most of those kids home. So doing that with, you know, the guys that, you know, Marcellus was being recruited by Oklahoma, Ohio State, those programs, Xavier, Alabama, I forget what this other school is, but I know Oregon was in there as well. Maybe Georgia. Okay, I'm blanking on the other big name, but it's an out-of-state school. And then, you know, Dakota beating Oregon for him. So, yeah, they're putting up the fence. They're putting in that electric wiring on the fence now. So, yeah, it would be a big message for, like, Dante's back and stay out of our area.
All right. We got a few more, and we'll get out of here. Any updates on Deuce and baseball?
I'm not Shotgun Spratling, so I'm not going to pretend to have any updates other than he is listed as a participant for the MLB Combine.
Yeah.
So that is still moving forward. You know, we'll know more depending on how well he does, and we assume he'll do well. But the only update is that, yeah, he is listed to be a Combine participant.
Yeah. Roger says USC has two cornerback recruits and interest in up to four more. Will USC take four corners in this class?
Straight corners? I don't think so. I think they would want one more, like we just talked about with Xavier Brown. I know Dakota's even hinted about that, like, let's get all top three. So I would assume they would just want one more. But Dante always likes to overfill his position. He likes to just recruit, which is obviously a thing in the Clay Helton era because everyone else was not recruiting their position well. So Dante was like, all right, well, you guys are failing to bring in,
so I'll bring in
two linebackers. I'm going to go bring in two more defensive backs. It was the same thing with T. Martin. He would over recruit his position because, like, okay, you guys are struggling to bring in a tackle or a defensive lineman, I'm just going to go grab two more wide receivers. So that was the same thing. Obviously, the staff is a lot better. That's an understatement, but
yeah,
they have more balance with the class. So I don't think Dante could just go over recruit his position a lot. So I would say one more cornerback at most.
I would agree with you there. And one last one, and we'll let you guys get out of here. Touchdown USC says, does USC play at SoFi when the Coliseum has track for the Olympics? Well, that'd be in the summer. I don't think it interferes with USC's football schedule. I haven't heard anything about that, but I don't think so.
Yeah, nothing on the radar, but that would be cool.
play a game in SoFi. I mean, yeah. So 2024 opening and not SoFi. I'm sorry, it's Vegas.
Yeah, it's Vegas.
Yeah. I want to see USC in SoFi. I haven't been to SoFi yet, so I want
to. We should just book our tickets already for that.
For Vegas?
Yeah.
I started booking. I'm going to Pac-12 Media Day.
Yeah.
And just so you guys know, I'm going to Big Ten Media Day too.
Oh. Wow.
So that'll be in Indianapolis. So I'm going to that. I booked that. I started booking flights. I booked Chris for a flight or two already for some of the games. Getting ready. Southwest was having like a big sale, so I tried to book some stuff.
He was in.
Yeah, I'm in, booking stuff. We're getting ready. And then next year, 2024, man, those are going to be some flights all over the place. Maryland, we're going to be going to Baltimore. Woo, my sister's in the area, so I have a reason to go. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Alexandria, Virginia, yeah. The big, like, so of the DMV, like, the M is like the third best, right? Like, it's like DC, then Virginia, then.
I wouldn't say so because it's literally in the middle. So it's second, but it all depends on how you view it.
Yeah.
It all depends on how you view it.
All right. Well,
we have to do our screen gap.
Yeah. What do you want to do?
This has been such an unhinged pod. I kind of just want you to be doing your classic Ryan smiles, thumbs up. And I just want to be like down here.
All right, I think that's a good one.
All right.
For Chris Trevino, I am Ryan Abraham. This is the Peristyle Podcast. Don't forget, 50% off VIP membership over at uscfootball.com. And Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah, I know it's Pac-12 time, but we're going to still talk about it because we're in the Pacific time zone. Composite Two-Star Recruits Podcast live with Gerard Martinez.
I just realized this will have – if we pull it off tomorrow, I would just realize I will have done 3 live shows consecutively. After that, I'm done.
You're done for a while.
No, I'm just retiring from live shows. You made me do 3 in a row. Goodness.
Nice. Wait, well, you chose to do the other one, so I don't know.
Yeah, because they're nice to me.
This one you kind of have to.
They're nice to me.
Oh, okay. That's good. Am I not nice to you? Our listeners are nice to you, and you've spit on them.
They are not nice to us.
They do say
they're nicer.
Tired.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. What else is new?
All right. Well, for Chris Trevino, I'm Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.